Turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're marching right along in the spiritual it factor, the underappreciated role and work of the Holy Spirit. There are a few books back there. I have some more. Take them. Get them in the hands of people that you think will appreciate this important message. A few things about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the third member of the Trinity. The Holy Spirit, like God the Father and Jesus the Son, possesses all divine attributes. He always has been, always will be. He's omnipotent, he's omniscient, he's omnipresent. The Holy Spirit is right here this morning. The Holy Spirit is 5 minutes down the road, First Baptist Atlanta. The Holy Spirit is over on all continents. He never tires. He never sleeps. The Holy Spirit is God. Now, we talked about a few things, the baptism of the Spirit. Don't be distracted by this. Don't let this trouble you. The baptism of the Spirit is synonymous with salvation. So if you're a believer and someone says, "Have you received the baptism of the Spirit?" You say, "Absolutely, I have. When I got saved, the Holy Spirit came to live within me." And then there is being filled with the Spirit. Why, preacher, are you talking about being filled when we're already baptized in the Spirit? Because like D.L. Moody said, we leak. The Bible commands it. Kingdom life demands it. So not only are we baptized in the Spirit one time, but we are filled with the Spirit repeatedly on an ongoing basis. Then there are the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Today I want to launch into the gifts, and I'm really not sure. I know we're winding down with these messages, so I'm really not sure if we're going to have time to go through each gift. This is an introductory message on the gifts. But remember what I said about gifts. The best thing that can ever happen to you in life is what? Discovering Jesus Christ as your Savior. What's the second best thing that can happen? It's a tie, I think. It's a tie. It's leading someone else to Christ. If you haven't had the privilege of doing that, I pray that while you still have breath and you're alive on this earth, you have the privilege and the honor of leading someone to Christ. They're there waiting to hear from you. The tie between that and the discovery of your spiritual gifts. And that's where we are. That's the lead-in today. It's just three verses. We'll launch out from there. Paul, right into that church at Corinth, says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to the mute idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God says, 'Jesus is accursed,' and no one can say, 'Jesus is Lord,' except by the Holy Spirit." Let's pray. Lord, I pray that you would add your blessings and reading to your word for your glory. Anoint this message, Lord, not for my glory, for yours, for kingdom purposes, in Christ's name. Amen. So there's the title. Bear with me. This is an important message. It may be one of the most important messages you've heard in a while. It could be the most important message of this series. We start with the point, spiritual gifts are divinely granted. What do I mean by that? I mean they are given by God through the Holy Spirit for the purpose of Christian service. That's also a definition, by the way. Spiritual gifts are given by God through the Holy Spirit for the purpose of Christian service. Now listen to this very carefully. It is so vitally important. As opposed to talents that have to do with techniques and methods, as opposed to talents that depend on, by and large, natural power, they are given by God. You may say, wait a minute, preacher, I'm a little bit confused here. So let me give you some practical helps. One is, let's take the best violinist in all the world. Let's say the best violinist in all the world is over in Eastern Europe somewhere. I'm just throwing that out. He is an unbeliever. He is extremely talented. And one might say gifted. But in that case, that talent is not a gift of the Spirit. And by the grace of God, this man gets saved. He uses that talent. He plays in his glorious church orchestra at a grand cathedral at a large city over there in Europe somewhere. He uses that talent. He might even be say that he's gifted, but it's not a spiritual gift. You say, what are they? They're listed. There are 19 of them. They're in this book. They're also listed in the blue book. They're also, of course, listed in the Bible in various places. And you can Google spiritual gifts. A couple of things, and I debated whether I wanted to do this because I didn't want you to get all mad and upset and throw things at me, but I'm going to use a couple of examples. Chip. Boy, haven't we enjoyed his ministry and his leading? He is a gifted musician. All of these folks are. They are talented. But I want to tell you something, so get ready to throw something at me. What he is doing, his music, is not a spiritual gift. He's gifted, but there's not a spiritual gift of music. Say, preacher, how can you say that? Because that's what the Bible says. Read and discern what the spiritual gifts are. He is gifted. He is talented. The Holy Spirit inspires his work as he does all of these singers and praise folks. But it's not a spiritual gift. One more before we move on. Me. Not that I'm important or this makes a difference, but I have a writing talent that I've really used all my life. It was there before I became a believer. It has been there after I became a believer. Now I use it for kingdom purposes. But it is not a spiritual gift in the true sense of the word. Now, is it, Mike? Because it is not listed. There is not a gift of writing. The Holy Spirit inspires, but you can fact check me on that. By and large, before we move on, because we got a lot to say about this. By and large, and this is not foolproof, but talents are our choices. Gifts are God's choice. You got that? Let's move on. Because it gets better, and I give God the glory for that, not me. But gifts are necessarily diversified. Gifts are necessarily diversified. One reason why is God loves variety. Variety is the spice of life. What is it that said? There are no two snowflakes that are alike, are there? There are no two fingerprints that are alike. Is that an accident? No. That is God's plan because God loves variety. How many species of plants and animals are there? And by the way, I think they're still being created. How many stars are being flown into and thrown into space? How many galaxies? How many solar systems are there? There are no two alike. Because God loves the variety and gifts are necessarily diversified. You say, what do you mean, preacher? I need a little more explanation. Well, go down to verse 7. But to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, and to another gifts of healing by one Spirit. Let me give you another little easy piece of symbolism here that will help you to understand this. Let's say that I was one big, gigantic ear. Can you visualize that? If I had a costume department and somebody could whip up an ear costume, I'd put it on right now. I'm one big, gigantic ear. I could hear really good, couldn't I? I could hear really good. You could be whispering there on the back row, and I could probably hear what you're saying. But I couldn't see it. I couldn't say a thing. Maybe that'd be a good thing. I wouldn't talk so much, would I? If I was one, my wife would probably really benefit from there. I'd be a great listener, and you could do all the talking, and I wouldn't. That might be a good thing. But that's not really practical, is it? God gave us ears and eyes and a nose and hands and feet and a tongue for tasting. And it's that way in the body. Listen very carefully. This is so important. In the local church body, what if everybody here was a teacher? How many teachers do we have here? Raise your hand. I've asked you this before. You're teachers. Teachers. You have the gift of teaching. You know you do. Don't be shy. What if everybody was a teacher? It'd be a disaster, wouldn't it? You'd have 100 classes and nobody to attend. You'd just be in there talking to yourself. I mean, that's usually not a problem in churches, but it could be. And there's some that probably have it. What if you all were administrators? Ooh. What if you had all chiefs and no Indians? Now that's a disaster, isn't it? I imagine that's caused some major trouble in churches. It takes variety of spiritual gifts. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, let me find that. Verse 27 says, now you are the Christ, you are Christ's body and individually members of it. You know what I think? And I don't see this written in the Bible specifically, but I think it can be implied. I think God's leading me to say it. You take a healthy church. You see, that church is healthy. And there are plenty of healthy churches around, despite all of these things you're hearing. Why is that church healthy? Well, they got a beautiful building. They got a wonderful music program. While they're located right there on the edge of the suburbs where everybody is moving, so why shouldn't they be? Why is that church healthy? They're out of debt. They don't owe anybody anything, and they got $100,000 in the bank, and people are giving like crazy. That's why they're healthy. Well, you know, maybe those things are important. You know how a church is healthy? You want to know how? There is a good, healthy mix of spiritual gifts. Who could arrange that? Only God can arrange that. And it does take a good church staff, a discerning church staff, and a leadership staff. You understand what I'm saying? All of those things matter. But a healthy church, whether there are 50 in a church or whether there are 5,000, it's healthy because there's a good mix. There's a healthy mix. You got teachers, you got administrators, you got people with the gift of mercy. There's a need. You got people with the gift of hospitality. I love those people that have that gift of hospitality, don't y'all? Hey, y'all, come over to my house. I love doing this. I love entertaining people. We're having a big get-together at my house, and you know, everybody bring finger foods and your favorite recipes. We're just going to have, y'all like those kind of meetings? I do. And it's a gift. It is a spiritual gift, the gift of hospitality. Spiritual gifts are necessarily diversified. Now, gets even better. You ready? I'm watching my time. I think we're doing great. I want you to hear this. Maybe it's more teaching than preaching. If that's so, so be it. Spiritual gifts should be diligently discovered. And it brings to mind two questions. Let me say that again, and then we'll ask the question. Spiritual gifts should be diligently discovered, searched for, if you will. Two questions. Can a person possess more than one spiritual gift? I'd say for sure. I tell you this, you don't have them all. Jesus is the only man who ever lived that had them all. You don't have them all, but, you know, I think, you say, where do you get? You see, there's some things, folks, as a healthy believer, there's some things that you may not find spelled out chapter and verse. I think that's where we get hung up sometimes. Preacher, where did you find chapter and verse? There are 19 gifts. Preacher, where did you find chapter and verse that we'll have three or four spirits? I'm not finding that. I'm discerning that. From years and years of study of the Bible and reading through and praying, you're going to have two or three spiritual gifts. Maybe somebody has one. Everybody has at least one, and I'd say if you probably have two or three or four. The next question is, do they come all at conversion? Oh, these questions just get tougher, don't they? Do they all come? In other words, when you're saved, filled with those gifts and endowed with those gifts, I can't answer that. I'd say another follow-up question would be, preacher, I don't know whether if I have the gift of evangelism, but I earnestly desire it. I have a burden for lost souls, and I want that gift of evangelism. How's God going to say no to that? If you say, I want to be a giver, tithing is just, that's just a start. I've been blessed. I want to be a blessing. I want to give way more. I've heard of people do reverse tithing. They keep 10%, giving away 90%. That person has the gift of giving. If you just say, I want to be that person, is God? No, sorry. Sorry. When we set all this out at the beginning of time, that wasn't on your list, so no. I don't think that would be his answer. But I think you have to check your motives, and I think you have to diligently pray. But do they come at conversion or later? Not sure. I think they can lie dormant in the soil. I can tell you this that I have learned. God's timing is everything. When the time comes for that gift to emerge, it will emerge. For your glory, no. For God's glory. You get it? It's important stuff, folks. Eagerly desire them. Spiritual gifts should be diligently discovered. Eagerly desired. Break up that fallow ground. Okay? If you don't know what they are, you go online, you Google. You read the Bible, find out what they are. You take the spiritual gift tests, and you will get into more that are coming. So, fourth, you ready for this? Two more points. Spiritual gifts must be carefully maintained. Did you get that? Spiritual gifts must be carefully maintained. Okay, so you should be proud of me. I'm 40 minutes into this message, and I haven't even brought up the fact that we're still searching for a house. Did you all know, by the way, that we're looking for a house? Have been for about a year now, but, you know, the lease is up, so we're really rocking and rolling now. Oh, it's fun. Lord, forgive me for saying that. It used to be fun. We built two houses. It used to be fun. Now it's David versus Goliath, but I haven't given up. I'm praying that Red Sea is going to be parted. We're going to feed those 5,000. But here's my point. Preacher, where are you headed? Where are you headed? Get to the point. Okay, here's the point. We went to see a house. Oh, it showed up. Ooh, whoa, look at that. Our realtor sent us a picture. I spotted it on Zillow over there in one of nice neighborhood over there, and you know, right at the edge of Athens, Watkinsville, if you know that area. Golf course community. Whoa! Price looks pretty good. We met our realtor over there, got out. Beautiful on the outside from, you know, about from here to, you know, the back of the, we're about here to the back. But we walked up the sidewalk. I warned my wife I was going to say this so she won't be too shocked. I hope you won't. But you know the first thing we spotted? Dog mess on pine straw. You know what dog, I can't say other words that describe it. You know what dog mess is? Little piles there on the pine straw. But that was just the beginning. We went inside to this beautiful home on the golf course. We looked up stuff. This will give you an idea of when it was built. You know the popcorn ceiling thing? Raise your hand if you know what I'm talking about. Oh, you all know what it is. It's peeling away from the ceiling. Who knew? We looked down at the floor. Spotted this. She's good at spotting these things. We looked down on the floor. She said, Todd, did you notice these beautiful hardwood floors, but where the entrance to the deck was? Just, you know what happens when water gets on hardwood floors? You know what happens, don't you? I could say more. Is there any need for me to say more? A beautiful home at one time, tragically, was not carefully maintained. You get the picture, don't you? And I thought, that is the way people treat their spiritual gift. God has gifted them. You didn't earn it. He gifted you. And you have not maintained them. You have not maintained them. That said, let me read a couple of verses. This is so important. Paul wrote to young son Timothy in the ministry. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 14, Paul says, do not neglect the spiritual gift within you, which was bestowed upon you through prophetic utterance and the laying on of hands by the presbytery. So Paul says, do not neglect. That house had been neglected. We've seen so many things neglected. Maybe you have neglected your health, and now you go in and the doctor says, your cholesterol is too high. Your blood pressure is too high. I went in, and, you know, I wouldn't call this neglect. I'd call this stupidity, but I was out laying on the beach and mowing the grass without proper, and so thus I had to get a mole cut out of the side of my head. It probably won't be the last one. What are you neglecting? You neglect a relationship, and it's not good, is it? You neglect your spiritual gifts, it's not good. You've neglected. What happens when you neglect something? What happens when you neglect moving and, you know, your muscles, what? They atrophy. Is that a word? They atrophy. Your spiritual gift has atrophied. I just made up a word. Atrophy. Paul also, I love this so much. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6. 2 Timothy, for this reason, I remind you, to kindle afresh, to fan into flame. Remember those billow, remember those things you used to, you know, help to get the flames going? That's what Paul is saying. Kindle afresh, fan into flame the spiritual gift that is within you. How do you do it? Well, there's two P's. You pray and you practice. You know the best way to practice to see whether you might have that spiritual gift of evangelism? Go to someone. Where are you along your spiritual journey? You know what it means to be born again. Have you come to a place in your life that when you die, you know you're going to heaven? Just try it. You'll be surprised. I'll tell you, if you handle it properly and lovingly, most people will engage you in conversation. They will. Maybe not just cold turkey if you go out to the Georgia Mall over here and just grab somebody. Maybe not. But, you know, when God's in it, then spiritual gifts must be carefully maintained. Okay, guess I'm doing a whole lot better on time than I thought I will. So it probably gives me the time to say whether some things I wasn't sure whether I wanted to say or not. But now it looks like I'll get time to say them, so that's a good thing. One final point. Spiritual gifts must be properly perceived. What do you mean, preacher? I'm going to say something. And look, you know what? I dug out and found these things, and I thought, what? Is that really true? Yeah, I think that's true. You ready for this? Because this may shock you. It kind of shocked me at first, and I kind of dug into it. Fruits are more important than gifts. Fruits trump gifts. Fruit, you say, wait a minute, preacher. You just talked about gifts. Yeah, but listen. Listen to this statement. And gifts are for a time and will cease. Did you know that? Gifts are for a time and will cease. Gifts are for the purpose of expanding the kingdom, growing disciples, adding names to the Lamb's Book of Life. They're not going to be spiritual gifts exercised in heaven. There won't need to be. However, that being said, fruits are a garment we'll wear throughout all eternity. Are we going to quit loving on the new earth? Are we going to be joyless? I think the new earth will be a great place of peace and harmony, won't you? This is the garment we'll wear throughout eternity. Fruits, they're all important. But I'm telling you, in the pecking order, in the perception area, others over self. Others over self. See, gifts, this whole subject can be a very inward, self, examining things. And it really shouldn't be. 1 Corinthians 12:7 says, but each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the what? For the common good. God gave you a gift of teaching. Not so you could be a teacher. No. He gave you the gift of teaching so people could benefit from his word. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 9 says, be hospitable to one another without complaint. As each one has received a special gift, now here's Peter talking, employ it in serving one another as good servants. Employ it in serving one another as good servants of the manifold grace of God. So the whole idea behind spiritual gifts is not you, it's those around you. Now here's the part, you pray for me. I've got plenty of time to explain this. We're right on the heels of the Southern Baptist Convention. I'm going to say this. Spiritual gifts, sovereignty over gender. Ooh. The Southern Baptists are going to gather and, you know, among other things. In fact, I'm very excited. I wish I could be there. I'm jealous and envious of those from our, I wish I could be there. I got to teach Monday and Wednesday mornings. I think it's going to be exciting. I think it's going to be a turning point. I'm cautiously optimistic. One of the things they're going to hammer around again is this women in ministry thing. I thought, oh, my goodness. My goodness. I mean, this reminds me of the early 90s in Western Kentucky, Mike. We're beating this issue up again and again and again. You know, I'm going to tell you how I look at that. I look at this whole, I'm saying, this is what you can say now at 62 that I couldn't say at 42. And I'm on record here. And this will be taped. So if I ever run for the president of the convention, which I doubt's ever going to happen, I don't anticipate it. I don't think I even want to, but it's on record. They'll go back and, did you hear what Todd Gaddis said in 2021? I look at this issue like I do the worship wars. Why has it been such an issue? Why have you sat around? That's caused splits in churches. And I love contemporary music. I love odeons. I love new. If they honor and glorify God, I'm all in. I look at the issue of women, same. Now, let me explain myself. I totally believe that husband is the head of the wife as Christ is the head of the church. The man should be the spiritual leader of our home. I think my wife healthily recognizes me as the spiritual leader. But you know what? My Bible says you better love her like Christ loved the church. But let me say something, and then I'm going to finish this up. There are 19 spiritual gifts. I see none that both men and women can't do. Wait a minute, preacher. Wait a minute, preacher. Are you saying that somewhere down the line we should call a female pastor here at Cornerstone? No, that's not what I'm saying. Probably would not be a good idea. Why are you saying that, preacher? Show me chapter and verse why you're saying that. I can't really do that. I mean, I suppose I can where it says he. Yes, I can. But you could also, people want to apply that and continue to apply that down the line to where next thing you know, a woman can't even speak up as a teacher in a Sunday school class. Now, I think that's carrying it a little too far. Maybe you don't. If you don't, I'm not going to argue with you over that. But I don't think there is a gift. A woman can have the gift of prophecy. A woman can have the gift of pastoring. Now, listen very carefully. Because there is a difference between being a gifted person and holding a church office. I've seen churches that you have, we had a youth minister because it was a guy. We had a music minister because it was a guy. Guess what we had? A children's coordinator because she was a woman. Oh, we can't say minister. Come on, folks. Are we getting into a semantical sand traps here? Throwing little words around. I am not a liberal. Far from it. I am very conservative. I believe the Bible is totally 100% true because the Bible says all scriptures God breathed. But we don't need to get hung up on this. So where do I fall in this? No, I don't think it would be a good idea to call a female as a senior pastor. I don't think it's a good idea to call women deacons or elders. Where do you get that? Okay. It's not a good idea. I better just stop there. While I'm ahead, and I'm probably not ahead, I'm behind. So if you go out of here and say, that preacher is a liberal. No, I'm not. I'm far from it. But I'm telling you, these gifts are not gender exclusive. These are gifts, not offices. So if you disagree, and will I always believe that way? I don't know. But it's taken me 35 years to get to that point. So I don't think that we need to sit there. I'm not going to be there. Maybe I'll watch online. We need to sit around. I've seen a guy get up that I saw a guy, I remember, in early 90s. I love this guy. He was a wonderful preacher and friend and minister, but I've seen him madder than a hornet over this women in ministry thing. I don't get it. Where would this church be? Where would all churches be without the hard work and dedication of women? Guys, I don't get it. Just like I'm not getting the music oars, but maybe I'm just naive. One more point and we're done. So I said it's all on camera. I'm not trying to be, sarcastic, but I like that. And I asked my wife in 30 years, if you believe that, sorry for my buddies, and I've got a bunch of them that would say, they would probably just not even want to speak to me after I just said that. Bless you. I love you anyway. One final point, Brennan, because this puts it all into perspective. Are you ready for this? This puts it all in perspective and makes everything else pale in comparison. We're putting it in perspective, right? The giver over the gift. The giver over the gift. Don't get all wound up about the gift, because it's the giver that really matters. Can I hear an amen to that? It's the giver that really matters. I tell you what I think. I'd like to stand up. Maybe, you know, maybe they're not going to ask me, but if I went to the Southern Baptist Convention, they said, we're going to let Todd Gaddis stand up and make a one-minute statement before the proceedings begin. I'd say, guys, gal, over these next 2 days, let's not take ourselves too seriously. Let's not take all of these issues too seriously. But by all means, let's take Jesus and all of these lost people. We need to take them very seriously. Now, how long did that take, Mike? 30 seconds? Concerning spiritual gifts. The best thing is, use them for the glory of God and make sure that you're honoring and glorifying the giver, Jesus Christ, who loves you so much that he died for you and gave his precious blood for you. He was buried and he rose from the grave. And these aren't things that we're going to be fussing about throughout eternity. So the sooner we can kind of work them out in time, the better off we'll be, right? Concerning spiritual gifts. Father, we thank you for the words. Lord, I pray for this hour, Father, that it's not about us, it's about you. It's about knowing you and serving you. It's not about getting our way. It's not about us being right. It's about you being right. And we know you're right, and in comparison to that, all else pales. Guide us now as we conclude for your glory. If there's anybody here, Lord, that's not a believer, I pray they won't leave here without settling that. If there's anybody here, Lord, that desires a fresh filling of the Spirit, may they come to the altar seeking that if they're able to do so. If there's anybody here that does not know what their spiritual gift is, that they will know. They will know and use that. We pray this in Christ's name.